just before I start and continue in our series of the I in Christ, I want to do a little rabbit trail. It's always dangerous because this little rabbit trail is well, but it kind of is and kind of isn't. I was preparing for the song service, and I it takes me about as long as it does to prepare a message, to be honest with you, because I want to say something. I just don't want us to sing something. I want to say something when we're singing. And we started out, "All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him." Sorry, I was too loud there. "Crown him Lord of all." Now, you know, I was reading an article yesterday, and of course my song service was done probably midweek, Wednesday or Thursday, but yesterday I was preparing, and I was doing a bit of reading, and one of the things I got was a digital, they call it a digital file, of the Pentecostal testimonies, which was something that's been published for years and years. I have some very old copies of the Pentecostal testimony in my office. And anyway, this was a digital form. Pentecostal conference was held in Calgary. So they were giving us a synopsis of the conference. And at the end of the conference, our general superintendent, David Wells, was there representing the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. And there were other Pentecostal groups from literally all over the world there. And the closing song, it was spontaneous. Our general superintendent got up and started to sing, "All hail the power of Jesus' name." I said to Shannon, "This is something." I says, "That's in our song list for Sunday, and he's singing it." I thought, well, okay, that's pretty significant. That's pretty good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. We're on the right track. Well, then, you see, years and years ago, somewhere around in the early 1900s somewhere, there was a new group that the Pentecostal Assemblies, the PAOC, separated from those that were called ACOP. Now, to most of you, that may not mean a whole lot of things. It's just a lot of letters. But when they split, one of the things that they split over is the name of Jesus. And one of the songs that was sung back then was "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." Well, David Wells didn't know it. But as a sign of unity, they begin to sing "All Hail the Power of Jesus." And together with one voice, they raise their voices to sing in unison, in harmony, in unity. "All hail the power of Jesus' name." The thing that divided them years and years ago was the very name that brought them together, the very reason why they exist. Okay, don't get overexcited on me. But I think this is something worth shouting about, because I'll tell you why. I'm going to be talking about identity. Like I said, it was kind of a rabbit trail, but kind of not, because I'm going to be talking about our identity, the I in Christ. You know, it's significant for us to blow the shofar and to declare Jesus Christ is Lord. It brings glory to the heart of God. Thank you, Jesus. And it's significant when you come together. One of the reasons why we come together is to worship Him. You see, being together, it was Shannon mentioned about the Filipino service on Friday, but I'll tell you, just being together, there is a sense of family. There is a sense of oneness, if I can say it like that. Praise God. And actually, unity is the biggest identity that we have to the world, that Jesus is alive. I think I'll blow the shofar again. One of the trademarks of our identity is unity. Jesus said it like this. In fact, he was in his prayer, "Father, that they may be one as we are one. He knew that there was going to come all kinds of stuff throughout the centuries that was going to divide believers. He knew. But Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. I'll share this with you, little rabbit trail. One of the Filipino gentlemen that's one of their leaders came to me. And I was just going to share this with a few, but you just need to hear what God's going to do. He says, Pastor Ron, I didn't sleep very well. This would be Thursday night. He says, I didn't sleep very well Thursday night. I kept on having a reoccurring dream. A reoccurring dream. I said, okay. He said, well, I said, so what did you see? I saw this place full. He said, I couldn't sleep because I kept on seeing. He said, I have to tell you, it's not just Filipinos. It's people from all different backgrounds, from all colors. They were all in here. This is the third time that we've heard the word that God is going to fill it. The third time. Well, you say, well, I guess we don't have to do anything, Pastor Ron. Oh, yes, you do. There is more work planned for you than you can imagine. And you can think you're on the sidelines, but no, you are not on the sidelines. Because there are grandpas and grandmas that we're going to need. We're going to need people that are solid in their faith to share with these young people that are coming in from whatever background, from every walk of life. The Holy Spirit will flow through you as you give out to Him. Glory to God. Let me tell you, we are going to need grandpas and grandmas like never before. Glory to God. So don't say, do not say, I am too old. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. God has now revealed to us the mystery, the mysterious will regarding Christ. What is that mystery in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9? It is that which is to fulfill His own good plan. God has a plan. Yeah, we have our plans. I get it. But when you submit your lives to Him, I have to tell you, you're no longer your own. You were bought with a price. That's why we serve the Lord God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our might. With all of our strength, we worship Him. And we pray. And we declare together. Praise God. It continues to say, He will bring and end this plan at the right time. Turn to your neighbor and say, at the right time. Yes, sir. He's got a plan on all this thing. At the right time, He will bring everything together under the authority of Christ. Everything in heaven and in earth. Furthermore, whoo, that's a big one. I like that word. That's like therefore. I like those words. Furthermore, remember praying, and we were praying over some young people, and all of a sudden I stopped, and as I said, furthermore, I couldn't stop right at that moment. I didn't even know what I was going to say, but furthermore, all I knew as I was supposed to say is furthermore. I said, furthermore, there's more coming. Are you excited about the furthermore? Ooh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for He chose us in advance, and He makes everything work out according to what? Oh, according to His plan. That's what it says. That means that when we come to the house of God, sometimes we've got our agenda. And I'm not saying our desires and our agendas are all wrong. I'm just saying there's a greater plan. There's a greater purpose. There's something that God wants to do. What is it you're looking for God to do when you come into the gathering place of the Lord? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I'll tell you what. This is a time, we all know it, this is a time of worldwide upheaval. Both on the, when it comes time to health, and also when it comes time to financial stuff. There is worldwide upheaval. I found something really interesting. I'm not preaching on Facebook, but there are some good things that are on Facebook. I thought it was kind of interesting because it just shares with you, it shares the tactics of the devil. The devil comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. We know that God does not bring fear. God has not given to us a spirit of fear. So who brings it then? The enemy does. So why do we let the enemy spew his stuff? Year 2000, Y2K was big. Everybody said Y2K is going to destroy everything. 2001, anthrax is going to kill us all. 2002, the West Nile virus is going to kill us all. 2003, SARS is going to kill us all. 2005, bird flu is going to kill us all. 2006, E. coli. Then 2008, there was financial collapse is going to get us. Then in 2009, it was the swine flu. According to the 2012, the Mayan calendar predicted the world ending. 2013, North Korea is going to cause World War III. 2014, the Ebola virus. In 2015, it was ISIS. In 2016, it was the Zika virus. In 2020, it's the coronavirus. We're still here. Look around. Praise God. The truth is, fear is the thing that kills us. In Luke chapter 21, verse 20, chapter 21, verse 26 in the NLT, it goes, people will be terrified at what they see coming upon the earth, for the powers in the heavens will be shaken. The King James says it like this, men's hearts shall fear them, hearts will fail them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And if you are one that you are continually in fear, if fear is your problem, then maybe you need to turn off the television. And maybe you need to turn off the radio. And maybe you need to just bring a little bit of separation from those people that are doomsday people. And maybe you just need to guard your hearing. I'll never forget, we were in a Bible school, holding some meetings in a Bible school with an evangelist I was traveling with. I was just doing the music at that time. And these were Bible school students. And this one student over lunchtime began to share with us that they were having these fearful dreams, just nightmares, just continuous nightmares. So I don't know why. I really don't. I just asked the question. What are you watching? Well, she was watching horror movies. Like, hello? Like, hello? Don't you think there is a correlation somehow between what you're watching, even the night before, and your dream time? Look at the tactics of the devil is to incite fear. And let me tell you a little bit of what I know about fear. Fear has torment. I don't like to be tormented, you know. I think there just simply needs to come with all these stuff, all the stuff that has gone by all these years. I just think that one of the things that can help us is to be wise. And one of the first things is we trust God, first of all, and it's okay to wash your hands. We can provide sanitary soap or whatever, sanitizer. You know, out in Vancouver, you can't find it on the shelves. My sister lives out there. She told me about it. She said, I went to the store to try and find some sanitizer, and it's just nowhere to be found. I have to go outside of town in order to get some. It's just not on the shelves. People are fearful. I mean, people, they're just not buying one bottle. They're buying a whole bunch of bottles. They're stocking up on the stuff. Wow. But in Psalm 46, verse 1, Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge. Look, our identity lies in our security, being in the secure place with our God. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, if I was going to say praise the Lord, that would be a real good place. Thank you, Jesus. God is our refuge and strength. Always ready to help in times of trouble. Doesn't say he sometimes is there. Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always." That's King James coming out. "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." This says God is our refuge and our strength. Always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when the earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. Verse 4, a river brings joy to the city of our God and the sacred home of the Most High. God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed. From the very break of day, God will protect it. The nations are in chaos, and their kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders, and the earth melts. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Another interlude. This is the second one so far in this portion. Wants us to dwell on that for a moment. That's what it's talking about. We could sit and just dwell on those thoughts right there. But it says, come see the glorious work of the Lord. See how he brings destruction upon the world. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and snaps the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored. This is the Lord's God Almighty speaking. I will be honored throughout the world. I will be honored in every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. The Lord of heaven's army is here among us. Turn to your neighbor and you say to them, the Lord of heaven's armies is here. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Now, if the Lord is here, let me tell you something even more profound. When you know Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior, the Lord is also in you. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he has done. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, this is just one scripture. Glory to God. Hold on here. I can't see my notes. Colossians. Well, no, let's go to Philippians 4. In the Message Bible, it says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worry, pray. Let petitions and praise shape your worries into prayers. Isn't that big? Let your petitions and your praise shape your worries into prayers. Letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. How many need to be settled down this morning? Wow. I'm telling you, He is the God of peace. He is. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I feel like having a prayer service or a praise service all over again. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Yeah. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule your hearts. A few times in my life I've had to umpire a baseball game. Nobody seemed to like it when I called them out. Strike three. Rule says it, you're out. But nobody seems to like that. When I'm reffing a basketball game, nobody likes to be said to, you fouled. There's a foul against you. You get five fouls and you're out of the game. But nobody likes it after the fifth foul to be discharged from the game. Nobody likes to be discharged for any part. But you know what this, let the peace of God rule? When you look at that word, it means let the peace of God umpire your heart. As the umpire, you may not like all the decisions, but when you give your life to Christ and you allow Him to umpire your heart, He begins to say, just get rid of that. Just deal with that. Do this. Here, I can help you with that. He's the greatest umpire. He's the greatest helper that I know. He's the best one to help lead you in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Gaylene knows. She's probably the only one that knows, but I have a lot more scriptures to share with you, and I'm not. I don't want anybody to go to sleep on me while I give the rest, even though it's a really, really good scriptures. But I would like to speak blessing over you before you do go. By the way, I was thrilled. Some of you weren't here or out there having coffee, but I was blessed when there were folks that come in and said, I have this need. And I thought,
People just, they pray. We begin to pray for those needs right away. We had church while we were having coffee. It's possible to do church and have coffee. It's quite possible to be at Tim's and other places, McDonald's, A&W, and to have church, talk about the Lord and those things, and have church. Praise God. But I'll tell you, there's nothing like being together as a family and allowing the one that you've chosen to be placed over you, to bless you. Question is, how many want the blessing of God? That's a good question, isn't it? How many want the blessing of God in your life? In Numbers chapter 6, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons." And when he spoke to Moses, and he was saying something to Moses, Aaron and his sons. In other words, this is something that is to be passed on to generation to generation to generation. God has desired that you be blessed. I did not say that you will not have trouble, that you will not have tribulation, and that you will not have persecution. But in the midst of that, you can have the blessing of God. How many want that? Thank you, Jesus. Now, what's interesting, he says, speak to Aaron and his sons. And he said, I want you to say it in this way. He said, I want you to actually say this to them. Please stand with me. The Lord bless you and keep you. May he protect you and sustain you and guard you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you with his favor, and be gracious to you, surrounding you with his loving kindness. May the Lord lift up his countenance and his face upon you with his divine approval, and give you peace in heart and body and mind. And this is what the Lord said. So Aaron and his sons shall put my name upon the children of Israel. He shall put his name. I just don't want to sing about his name. I want his name to rest upon you. Thank you, Jesus. You say, Pastor Ron, I don't feel anything. No, you just need to receive it. It's like healing. We can pray for healing. And God stirs up that healing. Some people are healed immediately, and some people as they go. It is a process. I believe it's somewhat the same. But listen, so Aaron and his son shall put my name upon the children of Israel. And this is what God said. Because they've spoken it, and because they have spoken it to the people, God said, I will bless them. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord bless you.